House come to order. Members indicate your presence by voting. Madam Clerk.
24 members present.
We do have a quorum to conduct business. Mr. Majority Leader. No excuse absences today. Leading the invocation this morning is the Right Honorable Representative John Coghill. Members, please rise for the invocation.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, as we bow in prayer, we give thanks for the many blessings we enjoy here. The blessing of freedom to govern ourselves, the blessing of this beautiful state that we live and work in, and the blessing of the people that we represent. We're also grateful for each other and the friendships we form and the institution that we're stewards of. We ask for wisdom from you as we contend with our different views, and I especially ask for your divine guidance as we deal with the recent indictments. As we enter the last week of session, we reflect on the many good things that have been worked on by so many in this building, with special gratitude for our staff. Now we look for help from above to guide us in these last few days. Let us be kind one to another as attention rises, and as we passionately defend our issues, help us be respectful to each other. We're thankful for our families. Now we enter into the business of the day with the expectation of your help. I trust in you, and I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Representative Newman, you lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Representative Dahlstrom.
Beautiful prayer be spread across the journal today.
Hearing no objection, that prayer will be spread across the journal. Madam Clerk, do you certify the journal for the previous legislative day?
I certify as the correctness of the journal for the 113th legislative day.
Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that the journal of the previous day be approved as certified by the Chief Clerk.
Without objection, then the journal as presented by the Chief Clerk will be certified. Are there guests for introduction this morning? Anybody want to represent? I want to introduce this guest over here. He's been gone forever. welcome back. Representative Holmes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Joining us today behind me in the Paratrovich Gallery, I would ask you to help me welcome Joy Atrops-Kimura, Pat Wolf, and Dwayne Heyman, who are all here on behalf of the Anchorage Museum. Thank you.
Any other guests? Madam Clerk, are there messages from the governor?
I have no messages from the governor today, Mr. Speaker.
Are there messages from the other body?
A message dated May 8th stating that the Senate has passed and transmitted for consideration committee substitute for Senate Bill 131, State Affairs, by the Senate State Affairs Committee, entitled An Act Naming the State Parking Garage Being Constructed in Anchorage North of the Robert B. Atwood Building as the Lenny Pacilio Parking Garage.
For the Committee on Regional Affairs.
Senate Bill 145 by Senators McGuire, entitled An Act Relating to Municipal Impoundment and Forfeiture.
Judiciary.
I have no further messages from the other body.
Are there any communications?
There are no communications today.
Do you have any standing committee reports?
The Health, Education, and Social Services Committee has reviewed the qualifications of Eric Dragas as an appointment to the University of Alaska Board of Regents. The report was signed by Representative Wilson, Chair, and Representative Sisna, Newman, Fairclough, Gardner, and Roses. The Finance Committee has considered House Bill 110. Extend Regulatory Commission of Alaska recommends it be replaced with Committee Substitute for House Bill 110, Labor and Commerce, with the new title, attaches a fiscal note, recommending do pass Gara, Foster, Thomas, Nelson, Crawford, Jewell, Kelly, Hawker, and Meyer. No recommendation, Stoltz. The report was signed by Representative Meyer, co-chair. House Bill 110 has no further referral. The Finance Committee has considered Senate Bill 85, Extend State Medical Board, attaches a previous fiscal note, recommending do pass Gara, Thomas, Foster, Crawford, Kelly, Nelson, Jewell, Hawker, Stoltz, and Meyer. The report was signed by Representative Meyer, co-chair. Senate Bill 85 has no further referral. The Finance Committee has considered Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 105, Transportation, Reimbursement for Municipal Debt, attaches 2-0 fiscal notes, recommending do pass Gary Nelson, Foster, Crawford, Jewell, Kelly, Thomas, Hawker, Stoltz, and Meyer. The report was signed by Representative Meyer, co-chair. Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 105, Transportation, has no further referral. There are no further standing committee reports.
Madam Clerk, do you have any special committee reports?
And there are no special committee reports today.
Are there any citations or resolutions to be introduced?
Citation honoring Keegan Randall by Representative Crawford, honoring Patty Morris by Representative Seaton, honoring Dave Brand by Representative Seaton, honoring Homer High School Lady Mariners softball team by Representative Seaton and Senator Stevens, honoring Cook Inlet Keeper by Representative Seaton and Senator Stevens, honoring Central Lutheran Church by Senator Ellis and Representative Guerra, honoring American Veterans Post number 9 of Wasilla by Senator Green and Senator Huggins, in memoriam Joanne Graham by Senator Seaton, in memoriam Pearl Elizabeth Betty Saling by Representative Seaton, in memoriam Eugene Browning by Representative Seaton, in memoriam Arthur Kohler by Representative Seaton, in memoriam Anderson W. Bill Johnson Jr. by Representative Seaton, in memoriam Rita Marie McBride by Representative Seaton, in memoriam Candace Candy Lynette Perry by Representative Seaton, in memoriam Stanley Joseph Hondorf Sr. by Senator Wagner and Representative Chenault, House Joint Resolution number 24 by Representative Coghill opposing any law that would establish a federal insurance regulatory system.
Further Labor and Commerce.
I have no further citations or resolutions for introduction.
Are there any bills for introduction?
And there are no bills for introduction today.
It does bring us down to consideration of the daily calendar. Representative Jewell.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. May we revert back up the calendar to introduction of guests?
Without objection, we're under introduction of guests. Representative Jewell.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and good morning.
Morning.
I'd like to direct the attention to the Taylor Gallery behind me, to the two young ladies in the second row. these two ladies are on a trip to Fairbanks in a motorhome. They are my wife's sisters. So if the body would please help me welcome Margaret Cheney and Bing Santamore. And just to clarify, I am poaching, but it is legally poaching, Mr. Chairman. And I just might add, as an aside, that Bing just recently received a very prestigious award as one of two people who were noted for outstanding contributions to the Tundra Women's Coalition in Bethel.
Any other guests while we're here? Representative Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In the gallery behind me are two gentlemen I've known for a long time, both from Kenai. Tim Navarre, who is the with the Kenai Peninsula Borough, the Mayor's Office, and Larry Porter, who is the Executive Director of the Challenger Center in Kenai. Please help me welcome them to Juneau again.
Thought I just saw you last night. Any other guests? Brief it is. All right, well, when we get to it, we'll do it. Okay, House, come back to order. Okay, that brings us down to consideration of the daily calendar. Madam Clerk, please read the first item on today's agenda.
House Bill 101 by Representatives Scott O'Lynn, Fairclough, Ledoux, Coring, and Ramirez, entitled An Act Relating to Uniform Traffic Laws. The Community and Regional Affairs Committee considered the bill, recommends it be replaced with Committee Substitute for House Bill 101, CNRA, with the new title, attaches a zero fiscal note recommending do pass Newman, Cisna, Olson, Ledoux, and Fairclough. Amend Cisna. The report was signed by Representatives Ledoux and Fairclough co-chairs. I have one committee substitute.
Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent of the Community and Regional Affairs Committee substitute for House Bill 101 with a new title be adopted in lieu of the original bill.
No objection. We have the Community and Regional Affairs Committee substitute before us. Are there amendments?
I have no amendments.
Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent to the committee substitute for House Bill 101 CRA with a new title be considered engrossed, advance to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Hearing no objection, we're in third. Madam Clerk, please read the title for the third and final time.
Committee substitute for House Bill 101 CNRA entitled An Act Relating to Uniform Traffic Laws and to Operating a Vehicle While Under the Influence of an Alcoholic Beverage, Inhalant, or Controlled Substance.
You ready for the question? Representative Gatto, who wants to talk?
Because it's important. Just yesterday, in walking through the halls, my next-door neighbor from District 20 right here has a committee aide, and she was walking through the halls with tears in her eyes, and we discovered that her daughter was in an accident in Anchorage the same day, yesterday, and her car was T-boned, and she broke both arms, both legs, her pelvis, and I'm not sure what else, but you know when you have that much damage, there's more. And do you want to guess if this driver was drunk? Well, I can tell you that in all these accidents, 70% of the drivers that caused fatalities were drunk drivers. And some of them are way worse than that. 30% of them are absolutely drunk, beyond the legal limit, but well beyond the legal limit. So historically, we looked into the background of how do we get the drunks out of their cars. That's all we want to do, get the drunks out of their cars. And we looked at increasing the fines, and we increased the fines, and it didn't work. And we said, okay, we're going to increase their jail time. So we increased their jail time. Turned out they met new drinking buddies. And we did both, and that didn't solve it either. So we went and tried to find out what the success rates were in other states. And we came up with what seems to work, that absolutely has numbers that reduce drunk drivers, was an interlock program. And that's when I discovered that my next door neighbor from District 20 had already introduced something about that 8 years ago, some number of years ago. So we got together and started looking at how to deal with this program. What we discovered was that not only does it work, but in 2004 we passed a bill right here that says this works so well, we're going to put it into law, and we did. And then we discovered the fly in the ointment, that the biggest community in the state, the municipality of Anchorage, was not enforcing state law. And they had some excuses. And said, you know, and I don't want to summarize their excuses. I wish they could be here to summarize them because they didn't work. When we got legal opinions, they didn't work. Nonetheless, we got legal opinions ourselves that said they have to. But just to be on the safe side, you might want to add these two words, or enforce. So the bill simply adds a couple of words, or enforce. They may not make an ordinance or enforce an ordinance that has an elimination of some of the uniform traffic code. And why the municipality of Anchorage is allowed to enforce it differently from the rest of the state is a whole nother matter that we don't want to get into. But what we're asking, or not asking, but demanding the municipality do is observe the same laws that we passed here that everyone else in the state has to observe. With one tiny exception, the uniform traffic laws apply to everyone. I think in very small communities with very few roads, the insurance requirement is forgiven, if indeed the amount of traffic is so little. But for all of the rest of the code, in all of the state, we all have to enforce the same laws. So this is the fix, we hope. This is the correction. And outside of that, hope you'll all vote yes. Thank you.
Other debate? I'm Sarah Ebsley Holm.
May we have a brief Eddie's?
Eddie's. You ready for the question? The question is... Max. You ready for the question? The question is, shall committee substitute for House Bill 101 pass the House? Members, please vote. Madam Clerk, please lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Madam Clerk.
39 yeas, 0 nays.
And so the vote of 39 yeas and 0 nays committee substitute for House Bill 101 has passed the House. Representative Foster?
Yes, sir. Briefly down to special orders.
Without objection, we'll roll briefly down the calendar to special orders. Representative Foster.
Yeah, I've got the last birthday of the session today, Mr. Speaker, and he sits right in front of me to my right. Dear friend from all of us. I wonder if I could read his biography.
Without objection.
Well, he was born on this date in 1956, so he's 51 years old today. And he was born in Beatrice, Nebraska. And he says when he was 10 years old, they moved because his father sold their house. Somehow the landlord found out about it and they had to go. he's been here in Alaska for almost 30 years. His wife is Marty. And he says they've already passed their gold and silver anniversaries, and the next one is Rust. Children, Carly and Valentina, we've pretty much seen those two girls grow up here in the hallways. They're real pretty young ladies, and I know Kevin is real proud of them. He graduated from Beatrice High School in 1974. He was a homecoming king there. And then he went on to University of Nebraska, Lincoln, 1978, and he was a king there. And he graduated summa cum laude, University of New Mexico, Albuquerque, 1982, magna cum laude, and then finally Alaska Pacific University, Anchorage, 1992, and he graduated dona cum baccha. Yeah. He's in his fourth term here in the House. And he's been here a long time, Mr. Speaker. As a matter of fact, he labels himself as an ultra-conservative. And he once upset viewers of Gavel to Gavel and homeless advocates in Alaska when he said that he envied the extra sleep that homeless people get. He later apologized for this insensitive comment, saying that he was just bitter because they get all the good shopping carts. Anchorage Assembly, 1993. He was a chair of the Anchorage Assembly, as a matter of fact, for a number of years. Former president of the Abbott Loop Community Council. Former chairman, United Way, purchasing representative for ConocoPhillips. And look at this, former board member of a lot of civic groups. He's always been really involved in his hometown. Anchorage Chamber of Commerce, Anchorage Economic Development Council, Anchorage Convention and Visitors Bureau, STAR, Youth Court Advisory Committee, Habitat for Humanity, and the 2001 Special Olympics Committee. So he's got a full plate. Special interest, reading. And he says, as a matter of fact, a new study reveals that students in Alaska have very little knowledge of Alaskan history. In fact, test scores are the lowest since the Berkowitz-Parnell debates. In his statement, finally, here at the very end, he says he sometimes gets the feeling that the whole state of Alaska is against him. But deep down he knows that's not true because some of the smaller villages are neutral. And he also says that the representative from Nome is always there for me when he needs a favor. I wonder if everybody will please rise and help me sing happy birthday.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Kevin. Happy birthday to you.
Representative Meyer, you have the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Wow, that's, you know, I've been through this now 7 times, and each time it's very, very special. And I want to thank all my colleagues here for the birthday wish, and certainly my good friend here from Nome for doing everything that he does for all of us. He's right. So, you know, I know I'm getting old when I look at my 15-year-old daughter, and she was 1 year old when I first got started in public service in 1993 when I first started with the Assembly. And 51 is old. When I was her age, I thought, you know, I'll never live to be that old. Well, here I am, and yeah, I'm still here with God's good grace, and I hope to live another 50 years, although it's doubtful, Mr. Speaker, because I haven't been going to the Health Caucus meetings. I've been eating too many donuts in finance, and my roommate, colleague, and friend here, his infamous cookies, Mr. Speaker. So anyway, next year when I come back, I'm going to change my life and I'm going to get more exercise. I'm going to take up bowling because I read the bowling scores and the team's names, and it sounds like they have a lot of fun. And I'm looking forward to bowling against the bowling mascot from the downtown Anchorage next year. You know, last year was quite a celebration. You know, last year, May 9th, happened to be the last day of session. It also was my 50th birthday, so I celebrate, and actually I'm still recovering from that. So this will be a quiet birthday, quiet evening. I'm looking forward to an exciting night of putting the capital budget together tonight, Mr. Speaker. So thank you, everybody.
Sure you get a lot of help putting that capital budget together. All right, now let's roll back up the calendar to the agenda. Madam Clerk, next item of the day's agenda.
House Bill 151 by Representative Johnson by request and Representative Lynn and Foster, entitled An Act Requiring an Indemnification and Hold Harmless Provision in Professional Services Contracts of State Agency, Quasi-Public Agencies, Municipalities, and Political Subdivisions. The State Affairs Committee considered the bill, recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 151, State Affairs, with the new title, attaches a zero fiscal note recommending due pass Johansson, Johnson, Coghill, Dahl, Grunberg, and Lim. The report was signed by Representative Lynn, Chair. The Judiciary Committee considered the bill, recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 151, Judiciary, with the new title, attaches the previous zero fiscal note recommending due pass Grunberg, Lynn, and Ramros. No recommendation, Coghill, Dahlstrom, Holmes, and Samuels. The report was signed by Representative Ramros, Chair. There's two committee substitutes.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that the Judiciary Committee substitute for House Bill 151 with a new title be adopted in lieu of the original bill.
Without objection, we have the Judiciary version before us. Madam Clerk, do you have some amendments?
I have no amendments.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that the committee substitute for House Bill 151, Judiciary, with a new title be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Without objection, we're in third reading. Madam Clerk, would you please read the title for the third and final time?
Committee substitute for House Bill 151, Judiciary, entitled An Act Requiring Indemnification, Defense, and Hold Harmless Provision in Construction-Related Professional Services Contracts of State Agency, Quasi-Public Agencies, Municipalities, and Political Subdivisions.
Representative Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This is a good bill. Vote yes. I've always wanted to say that and hope that would be the end of it. Basically, what HB 151 does, it requires uniform indemnification and hold harmless clauses for professional service through all the public agencies. It ensures a fair business practice. It ensures accountability of all parties. And the bottom line, it saves the state's money. What happens right now, there's a number of ways, and that a design engineer could, in fact, be held responsible for everything that goes down the line, regardless of fault. This places the fault on whomever is at fault, as opposed to having it revert back to the very earliest stages. This is a problem. The engineers, the designers can't even get insurance for this kind of thing. So every time they bid certain jobs, they are in jeopardy of losing their whole business. This will save the state's money. Well, what ended up happening is the engineers just simply don't bid a job because it's too risky. Or secondly, they raise the price up to cover that risk. This bill will save the state money and is creates fairness across the board for all the design engineers and places the responsibility for any errors where it belongs. I encourage a yes vote.
Any other debate? Ready for the question? The question is, shall committee substitute for House Bill 151 pass the House? Members, please vote. Madam Clerk, please lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Madam Clerk.
39 yeas, 0 nays.
And so with a vote of 39 yeas and 0 nays, committee substitute for House Bill 151 has passed the House. Madam Clerk, please read the next item on today's agenda.
Committee substitute for Senate Bill 76 Hess by the Senate Health, Education, and Social Services Committee, entitled An Act Establishing a Higher Education Savings Program for Eligible Children Who Were Placed in Out-of-Home Care by the State and Providing for Confidentiality of Identifying Information of a Beneficiary Under the Program. The Finance Committee considered the bill, attaches the previous zero and fiscal note, recommending do pass Guerra, Foster, Crawford, Nelson, Stoltz, Jewell, Kelly, Hawker, and Meyer. The report was signed by Representative Meyer, co-chair. I have no amendments, Mr. Speaker.
Majority Leader. Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the committee substitute for Senate Bill 76 has to be considered engrossed, advance to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Hearing no objection, we're in third reading. Madam Clerk, would you please read the title for the third and final time?
Committee substitute for Senate Bill 76 has entitled An Act Establishing a Higher Education Savings Program for Eligible Children Who Were Placed in Out-of-Home Care by the State and Providing for Confidentiality of Identifying Information of a Beneficiary Under the Program.
Representative Stoltz.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. It's really a privilege that my good friend from who works elsewhere here in the building asked me to carry the House version and now this final passage of what's been called the ASPIRE program. I'm terrible at acronyms. It's Alaska's Youth Succeed When People Invest Resources in Education. Is his work in it, and I'm going to copy a little bit from my friend from Nome. It could very well be called Enlightened Legislative Leadership Investing in Students to reflect his significant contribution. But it's a fairly simple concept. We have a couple thousand kids that are in, young people that are in custody, and about 100 of them churn out every year into society. And this connects some dots. First response is, well, why does government have to be involved in allow letting churches and other organizations? There's some privacy provisions in the, that are pretty significant, and this allows the government agencies to interface with those agencies, and it's a fairly modest amount of investment of government resources to allow a potentially very large, significant investment in filling a gap in that we have in society. The people, a class of young people that are dealt very serious challenges through no fault of their own, allows them a step up at an important time in their life, and it really it allows groups, and I suspect groups I belong to will look at that have scholarship functions, will look at this as a very worthy conduit for our scholarship resources. We won't necessarily know who they are. We might know they're from Chugiak or from the Mat-Su, and they're needy. Young people, and it's. I think there's been some very good things done to provide safeguards. It's not a trust fund that these kids get to blow as soon as they turn 18. It's very well controlled through state controls and through the UAA Savings Fund, the 529 account. I think it's a very good piece of legislation. I commend its passage.
Other debate? You ready for the question? The question is: shall committee substitute for Senate Bill 76 pass the House? Members, please vote. St. Coghill. Madam Clerk, please lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Madam Clerk.
39 yeas, 0 nays.
And so with a vote of 39 yeas, 0 nays, may substitute for Senate Bill 76 has passed the House. Representative Cotullo.
We have a brief of these.
At ease. Order. Madam Clerk, would you please read the next item on today's agenda?
Committee substitute for House Bill 192 passed by the entitled an act relating to notification to teachers of layoff or non-retention. The bill's in third reading.
Representative Dugan.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Bill 192 changes state law on notification of non-retention of tenured teachers. In English, that means pink slips. Current state law requires that districts notify tenured teachers before March 16th if they're not to be retained for the next year. Members of this body will recognize that that means that these notices have to be sent out before the state budget is passed and before districts actually know how much money they're going to get for the following year. We make them pink slip people anyway, because if they don't, they're on the hook to pay them after that, whether they get the money or not. The bill changes this in two ways. If an education funding bill is passed by the 1st of March, the pink slip date remains the same, before March 16th. In those years in which we do not pass an education funding bill by the 1st of March, the pink slip date becomes the end of the school term, which is the same date that non-tenured teachers have to be pink slipped under the law. This situation is not currently a problem in most of the larger school districts, which have enough non-tenured teachers to take up the slack in the budget if that becomes necessary. It is a problem in some smaller districts because although in general tenured teachers are the last ones to be laid off, in fact, that's not the case if non-tenured teachers have special qualifications, and that sometimes happens. This is the situation, as it's been explained to me, that happened in Valdez. In the interest of full disclosure, I should tell the body that the unions that represent the teachers do not support this bill, and that they argue that this is an erosion of tenure. This bill is not about tenure, Mr. Speaker, although perhaps we might want to have a discussion why a largely union-represented workforce has special treatment in state law. This is about the question of whether or not the state is going to require school districts to send out pink slips that have essentially no meaning. Those who want to continue to follow this policy will vote no on this bill. Those who want to change it will vote yes. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Other debate? Representative Seaton.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. There are some unintended consequences to this notion that we can early fund education basically by rolling back the date in which we notify tenured teachers or get out of our problem with that. And that is that right now, tenured teachers know that if they do not receive notification by March 16th, they are hired. They have a contract for the following year. If we pass this bill, what we are saying is that those tenured teachers are not going to know that until the last day of the year. And so we also have the possibility of losing tenured teachers if the budget looks a little shaky. What are their decisions going to be? Their decisions are going to be, they want to make sure they have a job, and the job fairs are all in April or earlier than the end of the year. So what we end up doing is creating a situation for tenured teachers that is nebulous. They do not know whether they have a contract, and we run the possibility of losing teachers that we want to keep. We don't get just in the situation of those people that have not received tenure. So I'm going to vote against the bill.
Other debate? Representative Crawford.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. If I understand this correctly, maybe somebody else can tell me if I'm wrong. What this bill does is it doesn't require the school districts to send out these pink slips. But if there is a real layoff coming, they can still send out a pink slip if they feel the need to. But it doesn't force them into it, which is what we have today.
Representative Stoltz.
Thank you. I'm going to speak in behalf of passage of the bill. I think I'd just assume that the local school districts have this. And I think this is a very arbitrary provision in state law. And I don't see it has a good reason for being there. It's I think the educational associations within my two school districts, the first and second largest in the state, certainly have the ability to establish procedures for notification through their notification process, through their negotiation process. I think this ought to be handled at the local level, and I'd just like this to stop being used as a, I'd like to take this issue out of the political arena and let the school district set up their own procedures.
Other debate? Representative Guerra.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And this is one of those things that convinces you that sometimes you're staring something in the face and then it requires somebody to come in with fresh eyes and say, you guys have missed something. I'm sort of embarrassed that I never filed this in the past. It's the bill does exactly what the sponsor says and what the speaker to my left says. If somebody's really going to fire a tenured teacher, this bill lets you send a notice to them. It just doesn't require you to send it to them when you know full well you're really not going to fire them, right? It gets rid of this angst where you send out these fake pink slips to people that you're not going to terminate. If a school district wants to send out these notices whenever they want, they still can. So this just says you don't have to send out the fake firing notice when you're not really going to fire somebody and create all the angst that that occurs when you do that and all the waste of paper.
Representative Fairclough?
Brief at ease.
At ease. Any other debate on the bill? You ready for the question? Representative Sisna.
Thank you. Mr. Speaker, I heard and was on in a committee that heard this bill, and I remember at the end of the debate, which is a fairly long one, about the problems that the teachers were having with this bill, some of the teachers were having with this bill, I remember thinking and being really, really torn about my support for the bill, because we have a group of teachers that are harmed by this legislation, and the possibilities of communities being harmed as well if situations are reversed. Because of that, my agony was that the responsibility of this body is to take care of school funding. It's one of the largest departments in state government. It's as an issue, we all carry this issue as being a really important issue. We want to take care of our schools. We want to make sure that the education of our children is done well. And at the heart of this is the funding that does not come out at a time when schools can plan the next year. You know, if in fact we could extend the school year so that it would fit into our budgeting cycle, we wouldn't have a problem. Or we maybe look at the school funding in this body and do it in a way that actually helps schools plan at a time when teachers really need to know whether or not they're going to have a job next year. And this problem is going to go on and on. We are going to have more and more tight budgets. That's something we've heard abundant warnings of. It's been for a long time we've heard this. And yet, our body really holds the education budget until pretty much the end of the session. It's the end of the session process. And that is pretty much the end of the school year. Very much the end of the school year. So planning for the next year, the teachers are going to be leaving, the principals are going to be leaving the school. Planning for the next year really can't happen. And for those of us who play a part in our local schools and are trying to plan community projects in the school for the coming year, no one really knows what's going to happen with the school until at the very end of the session. And next year, which will be a shorter year, we're going to have that problem that's going to be condensed, and it will be at the end. And the heartbreaking thing is that we will see more of this, not less. Will this bill help that problem? I think that's not the answer. The answer is really our actions and our process. And I am very, very much loath, and I'm still debating, and I'm not ready to vote yet, because the fact is that I think this needs to be fixed in this body, in the process that we do. And I feel that it's really wrong to have the schools be held hostage because our process is not taking them into consideration. Thank you.
Another debate, Representative Kelly.
Mr. Speaker, very briefly, I intend to support this bill. As a longtime employer, I think that handing out pink slips to your finest is the dumbest thing that you could possibly do. It's just great for morale. Really a great spring present every year to do that. So I think this is one step in the right direction of stopping what I consider to be absolutely ridiculous action each year. It has its problems, but I just want to send a message to the administrators who have the tools to send out notices when they are appropriate, that this only puts pressure on you to do your job, your jobs, and so that what we're doing here, I think the representative, the newest person that is a writer and used to be a Midland reporter, said that the whole issue is, I think, just boils down to the fact that they have the tools, they need to use them, and that we need to stop this insane practice. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Kelly, I almost gaveled you down for insulting comments to one of our members, but I decided I wouldn't do that.
He'd take Midland as a compliment.
Is there any other debate? You ready for the question? The question is, shall committee substitute for House Bill 192 pass the House? Members, please vote. Madam Clerk, please lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Madam Clerk.
30 yeas, 9 nays.
So with a vote of 30 yeas and 9 nays, committee substitute for House Bill 192 has passed the House. Madam Clerk, could you please read the next item on today's agenda? That is. House, come back to order. Madam Clerk, please read the next item on today's agenda.
Committee substitute for House Bill 209, Judiciary, entitled An Act Relating to the Chair of the Regulatory Commission of Alaska and Amending the Timeline Requirements for a Final Order of the Commission and Providing for an Effective Date. The bill's in third reading.
Representative Olson.
Well, thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Bill 209 is part of a package of two bills and a resolution addressing RCA issues that are before us this year. Briefly, Section 1 of 209 addresses how the chair of the RCA is selected. It would be selected by the governor for one three-year term. This is the same way that 22 other commissions are handled by the governor. Those commissions include AOGCC, the Commercial Fisheries Entry Commission, Parole Board, a number of boards that are of similar substance. The balance of the bill deals with timelines. It's taken months and converted them into days. That makes it crystal clear on what the timeline will be. At this point in time, the second piece of this bill will address the sunset. That'll be coming before the body in the next day or two, I believe, and then we should be done with the RCA for a few years. I would urge your support on this bill. Thank you.
Any other debate? Representative Guerra.
Speaker, I'm trying to abbreviate yesterday's point. I went through the letter we received from the state's Assistant Attorney General in charge of representing consumers in rate-setting cases before the RCA and looked at it more closely. Under this bill, reducing the timelines, he doesn't know whether the state will be able to represent consumers to prevent unjust rate increases as well as they have in the past. I agree with the AARP's sentiments on Section 7 of the bill and Section 4, which also raise the concerns whether consumers are going to be as well protected anymore. The answer, if this bill passes, is to actually take a look at the consumer protection function at the Attorney General's office and address their staffing needs. They're not showing up in the cases where they should be showing up. They don't have the staff. Reducing the timelines is going to make that problem worse before it gets better, Mr. Speaker. And while I know that the utilities would like to have consumers not well represented often in these cases, it's in the consumer's interest to keep rates down when rate increase requests are requested and aren't justified. So, Mr. Speaker, I'm voting no.
The debate? Ready for the question? Representative Roses.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The only concern I have with the bill has to do with the appointment of the chair by the governor. And here's the reason being, and because we're also discussing another bill, it's called AGEA. And in there, there's a pipeline coordinator that is going to be appointed by the governor. If we end up with a pipeline bidder that happens to be an in-state process, then that means the entire process is going to be overseen by two commissioners appointed by the governor, a coordinator for the pipeline appointed by the governor, and the regulatory agency will be the Regulatory Commission of Alaska appointed by the governor. Nowhere in that process is there any oversight by the legislature or for us to have the ability either to approve the coordinator or to approve who's going to be the chair for the regulatory agency. And I'm not going to vote against this, but I think it's something we ought to keep a close eye on because I think we've removed ourselves considerably from the process involved here if it's only an in-state pipeline. So,
Representative Gardner.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. My two concerns have been addressed by the two previous speakers, but I guess I would say the level of concern over the appointment issue rises to enough for me to vote against the bill, and I would hope that other members of this body would do so too. At the same time, I want to congratulate the chair of the Labor and Commerce Committee who's carrying the bill. I think he has made a very good effort to try to resolve the concerns of all the parties. I just don't think we're quite there, and I'm going to vote against it.
Another debate? Representative Cartula?
Briefing.
Now let's come back to order. Any other debate on the bill? Ready for the question? The question is, shall committee substitute for House Bill 209 pass the House? Members, please vote. Representative Gardner?
Madam Clerk, please lock the roll.
Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Madam Clerk.
28 yeas, 10 nays.
So the vote of 28 yeas and 10 nays, committee substitute for House Bill 209 has passed the House. Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that the roll call vote on the passage of the committee substitute for House Bill 209 Judiciary be considered the roll call vote on the effective date clause.
Hearing no objection, the roll call vote on the bill will be the roll call vote on the effective date clause. Madam Clerk, would you please read the next item on today's agenda?
House Joint Resolution Number 12 by Representatives Johnson, Stoltz, Lynn, Gatto, Crawford, Dugan, and Ramirez urging the United States Congress to pass legislation to open the coastal plain of the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge to oil and gas exploration, development, and production. The House Special Committee on Oil and Gas considered the resolution, recommends it be replaced with Committee Substitute for House Joint Resolution 12, Oil and Gas with the same title, attached to zero fiscal note, recommending do pass Dugan, Ramirez, Dahlstrom, and Coring, amend Kawasaki and Olson. The report was signed by Representative Coring, Chair. The Resources Committee considered the bill, recommends it be replaced with Committee Substitute for House Joint Resolution 12, Oil and Gas with the same title, attached to the previous zero fiscal note, recommending do pass Coring, Edgman, Roses, Wilson, Seaton, Gatto, and Johnson, amend Kawasaki and Guttenberg. Report was signed by Representative Gatto and Johnson, co-chairs. There's one committee substitute.
Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that the Oil and Gas Committee substitute for H.R. 12 be adopted in lieu of the original bill.
Okay, no objection. We have the Oil and Gas Committee substitute before us. Are there amendments?
There's an amendment being duplicated.
House sanity. House come back to order. All right, Madam Clerk, do you have any amendments?
Amendment number one by Representative Salmon to page 3, line 19.
Representative Salmon.
Mr. Speaker, I move amendment number one.
Oh, there is an objection, Representative Salmon.
Are you sure that was an objection?
I can hear why. Very, very good, Representative Salmon.
Okay, I stand in opposition to this resolution to open Anwar. And my speech will be very brief. And all I'm going to say is we should save our ink and our precious time since the stars are no longer aligned. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Other debate? Representative Stoltz?
It seems to be a small word change, but, with, but it's almost analogous if we were doing a resolution to support the promotion of salmon, and I just added Ella to it. So with that, I oppose it.
All right, let's get this out of the way. Ready for the
speaker?
Representative Salmon, real quick.
I withdraw my amendment.
Oh, all right. Amendment number one has been withdrawn. Are there any other amendments?
I have no further amendments.
And Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that the committee substitute for H.R. 12 Oil and Gas be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
There is an objection. This bill will be heard in third reading tomorrow's calendar. Madam Clerk, please read the next item on today's agenda.
House Joint Resolution number 16 by Representatives Lynn and Newman opposing imposition of a milk tax on Alaskans. The Labor and Commerce Committee considered the resolution attached to zero fiscal note recommending due pass Gardner, Gatto, Book, Ledoux, and Olson. The report was signed by Representative Olson, Chair. I have no amendments.
Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that H.R. 16 be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
With no objection, we're in third. Madam Clerk, would you please read the title for the third and final time?
House Joint Resolution number 16, opposing imposition of a milk tax on Alaskans.
Ready for the question? The question is, shall House Joint Resolution 16 pass the House? Members, please vote. Madam Clerk, please lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Madam Clerk.
39 yeas, 0 nays.
So with a vote of 39 yeas, 0 nays, House Joint Resolution 16 has passed the House. Madam Clerk, do you have any other items on today's agenda?
There's citations on today's calendar.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that the House approve the citations on today's calendar.
Objection. The citations on today's calendar are approved. Is there any unfinished business? Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that the following representatives be excused from a call at the following time. It's Representative Johnson from noon Friday, May 11th to morning plain time Sunday, May 13th. Representative Thomas from 5 p.m. tonight to afternoon plain time Thursday, May 11th.
Objection. Those members shown as excused. Any other unfinished business? Representative Grunberg.
I'd like to brief at ease, please.
At ease. Back to order. Any other unfinished business? Any committee announcements? Representative Ramos.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Judiciary at 1 o'clock today.
Judiciary 1, Representative Chenault.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Finance at 1:30.
Finance at 1:30. Representative Coghill.
At 3 o'clock, Mr. Speaker, we'll have the conference committee on the 90-day session bill 171.
Conference on 171. Representative Gatto.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Resources at 1 will be covering from all the way from Kodiak to broad plains of Anwar and out to the universe.
Any other committee announcements? Any other announcements? Representative Cisna.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, many members of this body are members also of Civil Air Patrol, the legislative squadron. And I have the great fortune of serving as the commander of the squadron, and that actually is a position that we're always looking for people who would like to be in training to fill in the future. But that's not what my announcement is. The Juno squadron of the Alaska wing of the Civil Air Patrol has been putting together a reception, and we've been trying to find times that would work well. This was a very late spring breakup, and now the planes, we've got a couple planes in Juno, and we've got a Cessna 206 and a Beaver, and the squadron is ready to host our squadron, the legislative squadron, at a reception on Saturday at 4:30. Members of the Civil Air Patrol are invited to take flights. They're called area familiarity flights, so that you can, if you were called into action, you'd understand what the area is, so it does meet the mission of the squadron. And I'd love to have anyone who is interested in flying on Saturday to contact me, because we need to have uniforms so that the regulations are met. And the barbecue, which sounds like it's going to be a great deal of fun and a lot of information on future training and future flights, will be available too. That'll be at 6 o'clock. 4:30 is the flights. And so please do contact me. We would like to have a list of people who are interested in going ahead of time, so that we can make sure that we've got enough uniforms ready. And we're going to try to make sure that we can bring new members in on Saturday as well. So remember your family members and your staff. That's other possibilities to increase the numbers and try to maybe meet some mission needs here in Juneau while we're here. Thank you very much.
Great organization.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to give notice of reconsideration on House Bill 101.
Reconsideration is given on House Bill 101. Any other announcements? Special orders? Majority Leader Representative Dugan. Sorry.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I just wanted to rise to thank my good friend from District 7 for the compliment that he paid me during debate.
Is that your topic?
Yes, it is, Mr. Speaker.
Okay.
The compliment he paid me during debate. Coming from the representative I've known since I was old enough to walk, I think. Midland is a pretty big compliment, and I want him and the rest of the body to know that I hope one day to rise to the heights of Midland legislator. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Guerra.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to speak on stopping war is a good idea.
Stopping war is a good idea.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to thank the representative from Soldotna for preventing a war, which was, in my years before I came here, in my first couple years when I came here, every year there was what we all know as the phone wars. And the representative has been shepherding bills through, and so far shepherding them in a way that has prevented the kind of baggage that might cause a phone war, so I appreciate his work on that. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Other special orders, Representative Cartula.
While I was gone.
Long time. While you were gone.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I just want to thank the body and especially the staff of all of you for picking up and carrying, and especially to the gentleman who sits to my left for acting in my stead. My report is that my mother is out of the hospital and doing well, and I really truly appreciate everyone's prayers and good wishes. Thank you.
Other special orders? Representative Johansson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Permission to speak on plaques and elephants.
Plaques and elephants.
Yes, sir. Mr. Speaker, I may have been raised wrong. I don't think so. I think my dad's probably watching me right now, so I don't want to say anything like that. Both my parents are wonderful people. Last thing that my father told me in 1994 when I first started working for this body, he spent some time up here in the 80s. He was regional director for the Inland Boatmen's Union. He walked these halls for a few years working on contracts for the Marine Highway employees, an elected position from the membership of the Marine Highway. So we'd spent some time up here in the building, and the last thing he told me in 1994 after I was hired, he said, the only thing you have in that body is your word. Don't ever break it. The gentleman that I worked for in the 90s, the first thing that he told me when I was hired, the only thing you have in that body is your word. It's the only thing you come in with. It's the only thing you leave with. We have a catwalk here where the other health caucus hangs out. In the other body, there's also a catwalk named Kelly's Catwalk after a former senator. And where the health caucus on that side of the building hangs out, there's a plaque by a gentleman, Alex Miller. I was lucky enough. He was around the last couple of years that I started. His son is around here. Most people know both of them. There's a plaque out there, and it says, if you give your word, keep it. There are no conditions on that plaque, Mr. Speaker. It's a very simple concept. And sometimes when I get up, I did a special order earlier talking about Senator Stevens and his reflections on how the Senate had changed. Even though I'm the youngest member of the majority, sometimes I feel like an old codger bringing these issues up. Elephants, from what I understand, are renowned for having long memories and never forgetting. And Mr. Speaker and the rest of the body, I never forget either. Thank you.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent to the House stand adjournment until 10 a.m. Thursday, May 10th.
Without objection, will be an adjournment until 10 a.m. tomorrow.